Hey there, this is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome to The Money Show. I am your co-host, James Parker. If you got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, this is the show that's been waiting for you for 11 years to call. It's your turn. Randy and Picayune, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Randy?
Well, what I'm wanting to find out is, once my grandchildren, I have several of them, once they turn about 13, which the first one will be here in about a year and a half, what I'm wanting to do is to take and hire her to, like once or twice a month to mow my yard, wash my car, detail it, and pay her a reasonable salary, say, $50 a shot for each one of them. And, that's where that up to about $1,000 a year, and then have her parents put that into a Roth IRA for her and do that every year until she turns 18 and she'll either go to college or get a job or whatever. I've looked, and I don't really see where I would have any problem with doing that. Do you know if that would be legal?
What makes it legal is that it becomes either W-2 or 1099 earnings for it to go into that Roth account or IRA account. And honestly, I've been doing that with my kids for a number of years, but did not start doing it with them, say, age 12 and 13 and so forth. But they work in the business, and there's some kind of rules for that, but they're also supposed to work, if you get what I mean. So some cases you could pay them, say, I'm not going to tell the government they didn't show up today. Okay, just kind of in between the lines there. But it, once again, it has to be 1099 income. And I'm glad you called about this, because there's a few categories the government looks at that. And we paid them through the business, and we've got a few entities that we could do that through. But one of the things that's pretty cool, especially since, the few years back, the Tax Cut Jobs Act create us a standard deduction at $12,200 roughly is that number right now. And so if essentially there's no taxable income up to that amount, but it is earned income or 1099 W-2, whatever creates that earned income, they can go ahead and put up to $6,000 in a Roth. And I'll take this a step further. We were doing that and got their Roth set up early. But also, one of the things I look at is I've got to be paying for stuff for them. So if they're going to be taxed at zero, or say 10% tax bracket, the next one up, that's both of those brackets, zero and 10%, is a lot less than mine. And I got to pay for bills, and then it continued on in the colleges, you got tuition and, they got to eat and so forth. That's kind of how I looked at it there. And you've got to kind of be careful on, and I want to get to this here. Where was I at? Darn it. It's not going to go up. I can click this button and get there. So one of the things, for under 14, they kind of define work as non-agricultural jobs. You can't put your kids in your own homegrown sweatshop and such, but children under 14 can gain valuable experience working, but there are no limits to the kinds of jobs that they can do. If you're under age 14, you are only allowed to do the following jobs. So there's some rules here. Deliver newspapers to customers. Babysit on a casual basis. Work as an actor or performer. Movies, TV, radio, or theater. Hey, maybe just form a production company and say, I need you to read these lines for me today.
I've read those rules.
Well, let me finish for the rest of the listeners out there, because this is good information since you brought it up. Work as a home worker gathering evergreens and making evergreen wreaths. That's in the code, so that's crazy.
I know it's ridiculous.
And then work for a business owned entirely by your parents, as long as you are not employed in mining, manufacturing, or any of the 17 hazardous occupations. I don't think we were employing them in a hazardous occupation, but one of the keys is working for the family business. And if you got a donut shop, they can probably help with the donuts. You know what I mean? So I don't think it would be too hazardous. So there's opportunities to do that at younger than 14 age. I didn't do that early, but
14. Would I be able to do what I'm thinking about doing? Hiring them to.
Yeah, if you're generating enough income. Once again, if all you've paid them is $1,000, you've got to generate it for that to be able to go, and they've got to do a tax return. And they've got the standard deduction. So you got to make this to where it's earned income. So once again, it can go into that Roth account. That's the key part.
Okay. Well, then I make business.
If you have a business, this is easy. Claim it as earned income. And you can feed them the money, but they're going to need to call it income. But they're not going to owe any taxes. But to get it in that IRA, they themselves need to report it as income. So if you give them $6,000.
I understand that. I just want to give them $1,000.
Okay. I didn't know the amount, but it's still the same thing. They have to report it as taxable income, and they're not going to win taxes, but got to do a tax return, and then it can get into an IRA. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you for calling, Randy.
Well, that'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, I've run the numbers, and if they start doing this at 13 or even 14, by the time they turn 65, if they put in a growth fund, like a Russell 1000 growth fund, the numbers are scary.
Yep, it is.
All right, thanks for the call, Randy.
Jack in Baton Rouge, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jack?
Hey, fellas, how are y'all doing this evening?
Hey, great. Fantastic. How about you?
Oh, doing good. Thank y'all for taking a second. My question for y'all, I don't know if y'all have heard of the FIRE movement. It's financial independence, retire early, and yeah, I guess it's pretty popular with, you know, millennials. But anyway, so me and my wife, we're 25, and we're, we're maxing out our Roth IRAs, and we're both getting our employer match with our 401k. And, on top of that, we're taking about $3,000 a month and just throwing it in a brokerage account to just help us bridge the gap, you know, to have money to access before we get to that, 59-year-old when you can access retirement funds or something?
Yeah, 59 and a half. 59 and a half.
Yes. And so we sat down with a financial advisor, and he was, as he said, instead of doing that, it might make more sense to start allocating more of the money to max out, to fully max out our 401k. And, because I guess the big concern was, is if we have a brokerage account that into a tax issue. So I just wanted to, pick y'all's brains on A, if y'all have ever heard of that movement, and then B, what would you recommend? I mean, do you think that a brokerage account is the best place to put additional money to access it before you're 59 and a half, or what would you guys think is best?
Well, are you working in a job that has a 401k presently?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's a key part of that. If they're matching, you have to put the money in to get the match. You don't want to give up free money out there. And it could be a Roth account, or it could be a pre-tax account and that grows tax deferred. You can, if they have a Roth option, then you still want to get that match, but that match is going to go into pre-tax. So you're building some taxable income in the future. What you're actually talking about for all the listeners is you're talking about building after-tax money outside of qualified plans so that you could retire early and access it. I think realistically, if you've got a 401k and those opportunities and can do Roth, you're probably will be doing a mix of those things as you go. The FIRE movement basically is a lifestyle movement with the goal of gaining financial independence and retiring early. The models become particularly popular among millennials, gaining traction through online communities via information shared in blogs. So what their objective in the FIRE movement is maybe to be able to retire in early 40s is kind of that goal. They're going to save 50 to 75% of your income. You are living a minimalist life. Whether that income is you're saving half of household income of $50,000 or say, which means you're living on $25,000, and we still got to factor in taxes, so you're at less. If you're making $100,000, you're living off $50,000. So it's still minimalist compared to what you're earning. James brought up on the breaks, he said, well, you know, don't we have actors, ball players and such doing that? I said, yeah, and most don't do very well at it, knowing they've got a career window. Does that TV series run 10 years? Does that carrying the rock on the field last 10 years? Most of them don't. And they don't save and do well with that after. So we're talking about average people out there, and that's not categorizing you, Jack, but average people trying to knock this out in, say, 20 years of working out there. So what you've got to be satisfied with is a minimalist life to do this, but that is a minimalist life going forward. And that doesn't fit for everybody, but I get that. And some of this I've read about, Jack, is where people have created passive income through buying real estate and such, and get, and it's not they're building a lot of income, but they all of a sudden get to a point, yeah, I've got $40,000 a year in from my rentals. I'm calling it a day. I'm good. And once again, right, still minimalist, but that's enough. So it's just whatever you're needing to save. But, you know, if you've accumulated $1 million and can live off $40,000 a year, $30,000 to $40,000 a year, you're doing it. But that's piling up a lot of money in a short period of time there.
Right.
Did you have another question? Turn your radio off in the background, if you would, Jack, because you're getting feedback. You're hearing me on delay in your radio.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. One thing that, you know, me and my wife were thinking of is, you know, instead of putting all that money in a brokerage account, we were thinking of real estate, for the fact that, you know, you do get, I guess, a little bit more tax benefits and cash flow. I mean, do y'all think that that might be a better solution than putting all that, you know, after tax money in a brokerage account? Or what are your thoughts on?
Okay. First off, real estate. This is about pushing money into whatever you're doing. If you're doing real estate, you're buying 100K plus properties likely, and you're doing some leverage, and then you've got to work to pay that off for that to work in a short period of time. You got to parlay and pay down that debt, unless you've got money to start buying a bunch of properties, and you don't, because you could save and do the investment route. So one thing we're talking about, when you go to this after-tax accounts, then you would really want to have tax-efficient strategies, because what you also kind of want, you need to minimize taxes. And, right, you know, say tax-efficient bond ETFs, basically using munis inside of ETFs, can be one of the strategies. But are you going to be good with 2 to 3% yield on those munis? Maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on the environment. So we're talking about $1 million. You're talking about $20,000 to $30,000 a year in income from that. So those are the things that you've got to think about. This is a good goal, but you could wake up at age 40 and say, hey, we put together $1 million. Just think if we did this for 10 more years, we could have 2 million possibly and double our income for retirement and call it a day. So that's what you have to think about in going forward. But this is about, and that's where somebody at age 50 waking up and said, gosh, you know, in 15 years, I'm going to be 65, or 20 years, I'm going to be 70. I've not saved, but we got the kids out of school. Let's dial things back and start saving money. It's about what they're pushing into it more so than the yield. We're not going to be like Phil and be lucky and get a bunch of cheap stock that's going to turn into a ridiculous value of money. You can get lucky, and you hear those stories. You hear the stories about the people in the casinos. Oh, yeah, I hit the jackpot. I was there yesterday. I hit the jackpot. Those are rare, actually, when that happened. Most of the people are losing. That's why they've got those big buildings. So investing's more about pushing money in. And it's great to hit it big, but it's consistency. And if you're taking risk and you have a horizon of 10, 15 years out, you can take some market risk. I just wouldn't put everything, once again, the stocks. I believe in blending. I believe in having some bond ETFs. I believe having some stock ETFs. I believe in having tactical. And I believe in using tax-efficient annuities as well into the mix. I like index-linked growth, where I get the upside and not the downside. So that's why I like that tax-efficient tool I mentioned last. And that's where I'd look at diversification. there and okay. getting that mix. And, you know, the market's going to grow. It's going to pull back. We got one coming somewhere in the future. Then it's going to take off again. It's going to pull back, but you shouldn't have everything pulling back, just a portion, so that you can keep going right. forward. And when you turn this into an income machine, you know, you got to be protective of that. It's like climbing Mount Everest. The hard part is right. the distribution phase, the coming down my Mount Everest. So that's what you got to be mindful for. That's the hazards that volatility disrupts, is the distribution phase. So hopefully, I don't know that I gave you the answer, but I gave you some more to think about in this phase, because this is a giant challenge for you to try to knock this out early in age.
Absolutely.
And, okay. Good luck to you on it, and keep a surprise, Jack.
Thank you very much, Jack.
Absolutely. Well, thank y'all so much.
All right. Hadn't had a fire movement caller in at least 2 years, I would guess, if not longer. But I...
Yeah, well, that's a bunch of people thinking about. I get that, what they're trying to do. I'm not wired that way. And a lot of people are very happy I'm not, because I'm, you know, age 60, working 6 days a week with a radio show, work Monday through Friday, running our financial services firm. That helps people. And that's what we want to do, is help more people get that message out. So I'm just kind of wired to just keep going and growing.
It feels like these bodybuilder or fitness types, because if you go on to the online discussion forums where they talk about the FIRE movement and how to pull it off, they have their meal plans, their meal prep. They eat a lot of rice and beans and cheap stuff, and they plan it all out in advance. And
but the mentalist can work depending on what income and can you really save? Because, you know, some of their goals is, you know, I just want to live out. And I'm going to simplify this because I don't know any personally, but I would just think it's just want to live out in the country, have me a couple of acres, I can farm, have some cows, and I don't need a lot. And they're not necessarily wanting to live off the land, but they don't necessarily need a lot. It's just, I'll tell you why do I use that, because that would cost a lot less than living in the big city. That is just so much more expensive. Taxes would be less. Lifestyle would be easier there. And you might not be impacted by hurricanes either. So
less likely to be impacted by hurricanes than where we're sitting right now. All right. I have a couple of little short things here, unless you want to jump into the next topic already.
Well, we got a couple minutes for the break.
Yeah, I finally saw it. You had told me about this maybe 2 weeks ago, the LSU gymnast that's signing a name, image, and likeness deal.
NIL?
Yes, the old NIL deal. Her name is Olivia Dunn, and she is one of the most followed NCAA athletes on social media. She has millions of followers, and she does all kinds of cool things that gymnasts do that we can't, you know, flipping off of things and, you know, cartwheeling through stuff. Another point of admiration.
Yeah, there. I was familiar with it, but I've never seen any of her TikToks or anything that she does on social media.
Yeah, I haven't either, and we might be in the minority. 4.4 million followers on TikTok alone, 1.3 million on Instagram, another few thousand on Twitter. So, yeah, and she's not a slouch either. She was All-America for this year in the uneven bars. And I love this story because when they did the deal, or when they did the Supreme Court ruling about the athletes being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, the first people I was thinking of was not gymnasts. I was thinking of Joe Burrow, or, you know, like when Anthony Davis has to spend his 1 year in the NCAA playing basketball. I'm glad to see that someone in the gymnast level is actually making money off this too. It might be better news than I thought originally.
Yeah, it's not meaning all gymnasts can do that, just like all football players aren't going to get big NIL deals. But those that have unique abilities within their sport and can market it, create a big following. If you start early, it's a dramatic impact. And that's even if somebody gets you started early, like the grandfather that called in earlier in the show about getting his grandkids some Roth money, starting to for them to understand the concept of the compounding of that money. Be careful out there using some 8, 9, 10%, because, oh, the market's averaged 10% the past 90 years. Don't go using those numbers. You probably should look at, what if I can get growth at 4, 5, 6%? That's reasonable expectation, so that you don't, so that you're not disappointed. If you end up with more, good, but don't go out there expecting to make you 10% and have millions and millions of dollars. It's not probably going to work out well for you. Just think about that that way. One of the rules that we've talked about from time to time is the age 55 exception is how I define it. And Brian Beers of Bankrate, I've got an article that we're going to put up on blog over at gregoryricks.com, talks about retiring early. And that's one of the problems where our caller talked about having money in 401k, but he's trying to shoot for retiring, say, at age 40. I don't know that he gave an age, but that movement is people wanting to retire in their 30s, early 40s is kind of the goal of that. But one of the problems, if you've got a lot of money in qualified plans, you know, taking a distribution from a tax qualified retirement plan like a 401k prior to age 59 and a half is subject to a 10% early withdrawal tax penalty. But the IRS has a rule of 55 that may allow you to receive a distribution after attaining age 55 before, you know, once again, you're 55 before you're 59 and a half. But you can take distributions from the plan if they allow it after you've turned age 55. But separation has to be the year in which you're turning age 55. You can't be terminated or leave them at 53 and say, okay, I'm going to leave the money there. I'm going to take it when I'm 55. No, the rule doesn't work that way. But at 55, you turn 55 and separate in that year, you can take distributions from that 401k without triggering the early penalty. And then once again, it's if the plan allows it. 401k and 403b plans are not required to, and this is interesting here, this is the IRS rule, but the plans are not required to provide for the rule of 55 withdrawals. So don't be surprised if your plan does not allow this. So this is something, if you're thinking of doing it, you need to speak with the administrators of your company plan and make sure. See, the following statements apply to your situation and retirement plan, then the rule of 55 may be a good option for you, but you need to check with your HR department or call the plan administrator of your 401k, 403b, and see if they do those types of distributions there. So the rules vary, and they've got some range of how they can set those up. But once again, these examples might be a good option for you. Your company plan offers a 401k or 403b, 403a or b that allows the rule of 55 withdrawals. Some plans prohibit withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half or even 62. We've had callers call in the show and talk about that. They can't access their money before age 62. If you leave a position voluntarily or involuntarily in or after the year you turn 55 years old, that's what I mentioned earlier. If you've left before the year in which you turn 55, this isn't going to help you. Number three, you're a qualified public safety worker, police officer, firefighter, EMT, correctional officer, air traffic controller with a qualified plan that allows withdrawals in or after the year you turn age 50 years old. So we've got the age 50 exception for those workers. Once again, those are a police officer, firefighter, EMT, correctional officer, or air traffic controllers. Number four, you understand that taking early withdrawal means forfeiting any gains that you might otherwise have earned on your investments. You're starting to hit your account early, so you need to make sure it's going to, your plan long-term is going to withstand starting distributions at age in your 50s. In that case, depending, are you a correctional officer or not, and or at age 55. You fully understand that your funds must be kept in the employer's plan. You cannot roll this over to an IRA and have the age 55 exception. It has to remain in the employer's plan. And number six, you can wait until the start of the next calendar year to begin the rule of 55 withdrawals when your taxable income should be lower if you're not working. However, as with any financial decision, please check with a trusted advisor or tax professional to first to avoid any unforeseen consequences. Now, the last part of this I'll give you is the following statements apply to your situation. Then the rule of 55 is probably not right for you. Number one, the amount of your income for the year in which you begin the withdrawal plus the early withdrawal will put you into a higher marginal tax bracket. Number two, your plan requires a one-time lump sum withdrawal, which may force you to take more money than you want and subject to ordinary income tax liability. These funds would no longer be available as a source of tax-advantaged retirement income. They may let you take it, but here's what some plans do. Some plans tell you will limit you on distributions. They might not. They might, and I've seen these situations. They might come in and say, you can't take monthly. You can only take a distribution. You can't change it. Or if you take another, you've got to move all the funds out. So you've got to understand the rules. And understanding, if you're wanting to do this strategy, the age 55 exception, your plan needs to be able to kick money to you monthly and not get bent if you're needing to change or adjust or might even stop that. And number three, you want to leave your current employer before a year in which you turn 55 and start taking withdrawals at age 55. Note, this is not allowed and you will be assessed a 10% early withdrawal penalty. And there's other important considerations as well. And if you want some help with this, I've got a pretty darn good team you can call, whether you're in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Gulfport, Mississippi, Mandeville, Louisiana, Metairie, Louisiana, and you need some help, or rest of you listening around the country, we can do a 15-minute phone call. We can do those Zoom meetings, you know. One number to call, 504-832-9200. We can help walk you through these 401k, 403b early retirement decisions. And go check us out at gregoryricks.com.
Coming up on Saturday's show, our guest is going to be Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo. And he's the guy that's sort of the home show, but it's the financial part of owning a home. And he's been doing a lot of important stuff in the wake of the, you know, recent disasters, including the big storm that just rolled through a couple weeks ago. So if you have some questions that he may be able to help with, he's going to be live on the show 11 a.m. on the Saturday version. In the meantime, the new podcast episode we put up for the Ask Gregory podcast, that's different from the Winning It Live podcast. Winning It Live podcast is replays of the show. Ask Gregory podcast is each episode's a financial topic that Gregory just buries. And on the episode 71, because we're in the second episode of season 8 now, he talks about what you heard in the first segment of the show. Caller was asking about using the tax advantages of a life insurance policy to maybe create some tax-efficient income in retirement. So there's a little bit more help there just by coincidence on episode 71 of the Ask Gregory podcast. You can listen on the Winning It Life app or really anywhere, podcast or play. Wherever you listen to podcasts now, we're probably there, whether it's Spotify or the iHeartRadio app, any of the other Apple podcasts, Google podcasts, it's basically everywhere. And the final piece of information you need to walk away with is if you're looking for a financial advisor, you just have some questions for a financial advisor, start your search with Gregory Ricks and Associates. You've been hearing him on the show God knows how long. Feel free to call him at his office during his day job, during business hours or not. 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest, subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer.
Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks and Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks and Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.